This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
It is the very era of the moon. She comes more near the earth than she was wont, and makes men mad. Othello, William Shakespeare.
Welcome back, folks.
You're listening to Breaking Waves.
And today we're talking about...
lunacy.
Lunacy. What is that word? Where does it come from? So let's go way, way back to the origins of this word, Riley.
Like so much, it has its ties to the old world. The original association, some of the original association has been lost. Nowadays, we think of it just associated with crazy. In the mid-16th century, it would refer to a kind of insanity, an intermittent kind attributed to changes of the moon. So lunatic AC. So it's interesting how, yeah, we've kind of lost that aspect of tying it to the moon, and it's, yeah, associated with just straight up craziness.
But what's next to the moon?
So this word has been around for a very long time. It seems if we look to the etymology, it's once again, it comes from the Latin word...
Lunaticus.
Lunaticus, which I think means crazy or certainly not normal in your behaviour.
Yes. The state of being a lunatic, insanity, intermittent variety attributed to changes of the moon...
Right, so that's interesting. So way, way back then, we've got a connection with the moon or moonlight having some kind of effect on people. This is consistent with the common usage of the word these days, which is certainly the crazy angle.
He's a loony.
He's a madman.
The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path.
Now, lunatic was actually a legal term which was used up until recently, you might be surprised.
Yes.
President Obama brought forward legislation in America to take the word lunatic and the idea of lunacy out of any official government language or legal language. Well, certainly in my childhood, it was commonly used. The word lunatic and lunatic asylum were official words. And in fact, if you go to the interwebs and have a look at the images of mental institutions in, you know, the past few hundred years, you'll see many pictures of these things, and they look like castles.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They look like Buckingham Palace or something, but supposedly they were these refuges for the unhinged. These days they're just wards in hospitals.
Yes, they shut them all down. And certainly when I was a kid, the term lunatic was in common usage, and I think kids today would still know what it means, but it's lost its official capacity. Interesting to hear that it lost that as recently as the Obama administration, because I would have thought that it would have...
It was probably earlier. All but fizzled out by then, but yeah. I think maybe he put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. And it's fascinating how we can have this word, grow up with this word in common parlance, but everyone is, like, or most people are not conscious of, and certainly I wasn't when I was younger, of the idea of the connection to the moon.
Yeah, well, that connection is certainly something that was completely lost in modern times, in our present time, and even in the times when it was used as a legal term, there wasn't really much connection to the moon there. It was really the connection to the unhinged or mentally deranged.
And it's in the name, Luna.
Indeed, like so many of our words have little hints to their origins and their meanings in past times. Here's the thing. Even though it all but disappeared, this connection between moonlight and craziness, it didn't go away completely because we have in our storytelling, in our fantasia, we have stories about people touched by the moon and affected, people like werewolves, Riley.
To quote the 1941 film The Wolfman, even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright. It's interesting how the werewolf idea, it is very popular, and certainly it's probably like the first time we as kids kind of get exposed to the idea of the moon changing people. But they're really quite, when it comes to fiction, you know, movies and literature and things like that, they're quite underrepresented compared to vampires. And I often wondered why that was. I guess the vampires is infused with more eroticism and sex sells, and so maybe that's an aspect of why the vampire narrative is more pushed. And even in like franchises that feature both werewolves and vampires, the vampires tend to be placed at the forefront, like Twilight, for example, or the Underworld movies. The vampires is kind of the main focus, and you know, the werewolves are shunted to the side. But the first werewolf film that was feature length is a 1935 horror film called Werewolf of London, not to be confused with the 80s movie American Werewolf in London that it inspired. But this was part of that 30s Universal Studios era when they had like Boris Karloff as the Frankenstein monster and Bela Lugosi as Dracula. And so they did this werewolf tale, and it doesn't have big names in it by today's standards. The movie stars Henry Hull as this scientist. And what's kind of cool about this movie is that the thing that kind of kicks the story off is that he's this botanist and he travels to Tibet and finds this rare plant which is nourished by the moon. And so what you find in these early werewolf movies is that there's this kind of folklore vibe of tying in other aspects of the natural world, not just the moon. In the much more famous The Wolfman, starring Lon Chaney Jr., which came out 6 years later with Universal, of which I read out the poem earlier, there's also this element of wolfbane, this plant that's known under a lot of different names, but that also features in this myth, as well as, you know, the moon and the monsters. And so it's interesting just the way that talking about these films, I made a connection to the new Scorsese movie as well, which came out last year, which has in its title Killers of the Flower Moon. So you've got all, it's like a trifecta there where you've got the lunacy of the killer, and you've got the nature aspect with the flower, and then you've got the moon. But yes, werewolf stories, lots of different like reasons that it's caused. Like some of it is to do with like spirits and shape-shifting. Some of it's to do with like witchcraft and Satanism. But the most common idea is that it's this curse which is transferred by being bitten by a werewolf. So similar to the vampire thing in this idea. I suppose vampires are not explicitly controlled by the moon. They're not allergic to moonlight in the same way that they are from sunlight. So maybe there is some kind of lunar aspect.
Well, maybe that's talking about the difference between moonlight and sunlight.
Mm.
Not something that's really considered very much. Actually, something I'm quite interested in, because several years ago I did an experiment with moonlight where I measured the temperature of moonlight and found out that it was cold in a way that sunlight isn't. Well, it might sound a bit confusing, but what I found was that if I had a thermometer in full moonlight and one next to it that had a shield to protect it from the light from the moon, the one in full moonlight was a couple of degrees cooler. So moonlight has a cooling effect rather than a heating effect. Now, there's nothing really in our understanding of electromagnetism and light, which could account for this, because all of light is thought as a form of energy that produces heat. All frequencies of light will heat something up if they hit it. But moonlight appears to do the opposite of that. It cools things down, which is very strange indeed.
Something that defies, as you say, our understandings of how light works. And it's funny because as someone who reads a lot of fiction, if you're reading fiction and poetry, it's a given. It's just a given that moonlight is cold. But it's interesting how you said that when it comes to the more science-based understanding of things, you don't find that acknowledgement.
No. No, it's not addressed at all. I've never read it anywhere in any, you know, and I'm a student of the sciences. I've never read about that effect. And I wouldn't believe it myself. I hadn't done the experiment many times. There is some kind of fundamental difference between the light that comes from the moon and the sun, and it does warrant further investigation, I think.
Now, John, you have devoted time to studying the moon, and
indeed,
you've blogged about it.
Yes, and I've got a lot of images, a lot of recordings of video and photos of the moon. I became amateur selenographer in 2015 and 16. And a selenographer is a profession that used to exist in the past, and it's someone who studies the surface of the moon. Now, apparently it's not a profession that exists anymore, because you can't, there are no courses in it, and it's not really studied, although very well studied in the past, and there's great resources of images from various agencies from different countries that you can look at. But I bought a telescope and studied the surface and for a couple of years, and I certainly, you know, there's a lot there to see.
What do you think it is, John, that has drawn you to the moon? What is it about the moon that fascinates you? Are you, in fact, a lunatic?
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. Definitely touched by the moon. It just strikes me as one of the most obvious things out of place in our world. I mean, what is another thing, object, that you can look at that's that far away? Or in fact, it is far away at all. I mean, most of our most of the things that we can see aren't very far away. Certainly, if you live in a city, you can probably see a couple of hundred yards. Now, if you look down a street that's fairly straight, you might be able to see half a mile. If you go out in the bush, where it's fairly flat, you might be able to see several miles. If you go to the ocean, that's probably the best opportunity to look at something along distance away. You can look at ships and stuff. But once again, you can't see anything that's more than a few miles away. Now, supposedly, that thing up there is 500,000 kilometres away. So we all know the description of what the moon is and the other planets. They're lumps of rock, balls of rock floating around in a void of nothingness. And there's a lot of attention to these planets. Endlessly, Elon Musk with his supposed car that he's got driving around Mars at the moment. But the moon, we can't see any of those objects. They're just lights in the sky. But the moon, no. You can actually see the surface of the moon with your naked eye.
Yeah.
And if you get even a pair of binoculars, you start to see incredible detail.
Yeah. Do you attribute particular kinds of energy to it? And have you ever felt impacted by it yourself, the moon?
If we look back at this idea of the effect of moonlight on the natural world, it's not something that's really thought about or discussed too much.
Because I've heard the moon, there's certain schools of thought where the idea that suggests, like, within these old legends that when you die, your soul goes to the moon to get, like, back into the reincarnation cycle. And I also heard the idea that the reason that wolves or dogs will, like, howl at the moon or bay at the moon, if we want to talk Wolfman style, is because they know the moon is, like, somehow not to be trusted. There's also a lot of imagery of, like, lunar imagery in horror films, you know. In horror cinema, it's one of the archetypal images, I suppose, a lot of the time.
It certainly elicits feelings in people. That's why they put it there. That shot of the moon with the clouds going past it's kind of, it has a vibe to it.
Mm.
I mean, are we just, have we been programmed to react like that to it? Or is this
an innate,
deeper understanding?
And within witchcraft, within magical practices, there's something called a scrying ritual in which you'll get a surface of water inside a bowl, and basically you'll look at the reflective light of the full moon in this water. That's the kind of jumping off point. I'm not enough of a practitioner to go into what you do next, but I've seen this kind of thing done. So,
well, that's interesting, the idea of reflected light. Maybe some difference in the way that moonlight and sunlight reflect off things. There's an avenue for experimentation.
Mm. Yes.
What an amazing thing the moon is. It's the only object not connected to the Earth that we can actually see in our world. And there's lots of other stuff up there. There are lots of luminaries. But the moon's very special because we can see the surface of it.
So, yes, as I said, my first exposure to the idea of the moon affecting people comes with the werewolf myth, and that comes in, like, kids' stories and, you know, TV shows. I think the show Charmed had a werewolf episode that really fascinated me at the age of 8, but it wasn't until years later, when I was a bit older, maybe like 11 or 12 or something like that, when my mother, I can't remember if it was my mother or a school teacher, but some grown-up told me that actually there is more crimes going on during the full moon, and, like, the hospitals, emergency rooms are more full, the paramedics are more busy. And that really blew my mind at that age, as just the idea that the moon would have this effect.
I did look that up, and I did find some debate online. But I think you'll always find that around any any question you have. Well, it appears to me, though, it's quite clear that there is more random craziness times of full moon. I think that's fairly well documented.
Yeah,
by police, police and all kinds of services that look after crazy people.
Full moon fever.
Yeah.
I think something that I saw online that was a bit more mainstreamly accepted was the idea that the full moon affects sleep and something to do with REM sleep, something to do with melatonin.
Well, if it can affect like a mussel or coral at the bottom of the ocean is actually so deep you can't even see sunlight. If it affects, I know they've done experiments where they take clams and stuff and put them in concrete bunkers and these things still respond to the cycles of the moon. Or whether that's just because they have already built into them, but certainly there's plenty of evidence that the natural world is very much in connection and with all kinds of cycles, and the moon and the sun are definitely two big ones.
It's also interesting, I forgot to mention this with the myths thing, but the way that archetypally the moon is associated with a more feminine energy or like femininity and the sun is considered more masculine. And there's also kind of the idea of like, and this is not necessarily astrology, but it's sort of adjacent to that, but the idea of people having temperaments being more lunar or more solar. And I suppose you'll meet some people as well where, and I could be one of these people, I've certainly felt like one of them at times in my life, but it seems as though the mind becomes more active, more stimulated at night, and there's something maybe about the kind of effect or the atmosphere where you're more inclined to kind of be more inspired or kind of do more at night.
You know, if you think about the Farmer's Almanac, which is a very old form of document that was or recordings that were made in the past, and they did a lot of their planting and their harvesting around the cycles of nature, obviously summer and winter, but also, interestingly enough, around the cycles of the moon. In fact, the term strawberry moon, which is the term that they have for the full moon in the equinox in summer or winter down here. It's our winter equinox, but it's called the strawberry moon because in the northern hemisphere, that's when they harvested their that's when they knew to harvest their strawberries was on that in June, the full moon of June. So, you know, in the past, people were very in touch with the cycles of nature and the moon being very important one of those. And these days we're almost completely divorced and in fact told repeatedly that we don't even need to refer to the insignificance of the natural world.
The moon casts a big shadow over culture. We've talked on this show before about how one of the first movies was to do with a trip to the moon.
Was that the one with the ball-shaped spaceship?
It's where
it's
like
a black and white movie, yeah. And he built it in his back shed, and it was a round ball, and he went off to the moon, and there was a civilization there, and he gave them the cold, and they all died in the end. Is that the one? I remember seeing that when I was a kid.
And that's one of the most famous silent films, A Trip to the Moon, and then the first televised landing on another planet of humans was, you know, the moon landing back in 1969. So the moon does feature in these landmark cultural moments. And I had a thought just popped into my head just then about maybe one of the reasons why werewolves aren't as popular as vampires, just circling back to earlier, but because a lot of the time with werewolf stories or werewolf movies, they have quite unsatisfying endings because they normally end with the werewolf just getting killed and that's the end of the movie, like the guy will get killed. And so it's, I think maybe it's like depressing in the sense that there's, because it's like this involuntary thing where he just, the character will get taken over and there's a lot of innocent victims, whereas at least the vampires enjoy being evil, so maybe people derive more entertainment from that.
There's no redemption for a werewolf.
Mm.
Just a silver bullet.
Yes. Yes.
Or love affairs.
Yeah. No, it's a sad life.
Doctor, isn't there something you can do?
Not until morning, and this passes. Bring him to me then. Put him in my care, and I'll do all I can for him.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Sit down, Mr. Talbot.
What have you got to tell me?
In your case, my boy, diagnosis is extremely difficult.
But the examination you made this morning, the X-rays...
The examination discloses one condition, pressure upon certain parts of the brain. This condition, coupled with your belief that the moon can bring about a change, accomplishes exactly that. During the period in which your reasoning processes give way to self-hypnosis, the glands which govern your metabolism get out of control, like a steam engine without a balance wheel. When this happens, the glands generate an abnormal supply of certain hormones. In your case, those which bring about the physical transformation which you experience.
Explaining it doesn't help. What can you do about it? Operate?
A surgical operation to enlarge the cranial cavity is a long and dangerous one.
Then there's nothing you can do to help me.
There might be. Come here, my boy.
Probably the first exposure to the word loony would come from Looney Tunes, and they were probably the most influential animations on me as a kid. I used to rent them from Video Easy and Bondi on VHS back in the day. They come in these big VHS box sets.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they were actually on television. I know they probably stopped playing Looney Tunes stuff probably in the 70s, but certainly in the early 70s, I can remember when we had black and white television here. I can remember the Bugs Bunny and stuff was on television. And I mean, I don't think I've seen Bugs Bunny on telly for ever recently.
No, that's right. Apparently, they had a great run, the original run from 1930 to 1969. And we were sort of saying that there isn't really cartoons in the Looney Tunes canon that are focused on the moon. There's a Martian character.
No, certainly a lot of craziness, but not so much moon, lunar-focused stuff. They really focused on the crazy aspect of the lunacy.
Yes, yes. But yeah, so chuck him in the loony bin has fallen out of common parlance.
Yeah, well, now the correct term to use now is mental institution, not asylum. Asylum
yes.
was a lunatic asylum was an official term for a mentally unwell person in a mental institution.
So I do wonder what the connection is between, you know, our mental health, our mind, and the lunar energy, because it seems like something has been lost in the translation from these old world ideas into now. Something's going kind of unacknowledged now.
Well, we've certainly lost the connection to the natural world in our day-to-day lives, in our thinking, in our conceptualizing and understanding of how and why things happen. We've kind of taken nature out of the loop to a large extent.
Mm.
We kind of think of it as secondary or something that's completely under our control. This is not actually the case.
I hope that this program may inspire you to look at your moon chart and see when the waxing, waning, and the full, the blue and the purple moons will rear their heads. Don't mess with the moon, son. The moon is a harsh mistress. Well, John and I will return next week, and until then, stay loony.
Yes.
Still loony after all these years.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.